Hello, Rights Watch listeners. You're listening to a song from the funeral of Ugandan LGBT activist David Kato. Kato was killed in Kampala earlier this week. He was a leading voice against Uganda's proposed anti-homosexuality bill. Late last year, a local tabloid in Uganda published pictures, names, and addresses of some of the members of the LGBT community. The headline said, "Hang them." Kato's photo appeared on the cover. He and other activists sued the publication and won a victory earlier this month. A judge ruled that the publication had violated their constitutional rights to privacy and ordered compensation. The judge also issued an injunction barring publication of the identities and home locations of people labeled as homosexuals. Human Rights Watch's Maria Burnett was at David Kato's funeral. Unfortunately, as the ceremony progressed, it was marred by homophobia. She sent this audio postcard.
Today I was out at the funeral of LGBT activist David Kato, who was killed 2 days ago in his home. I attended the funeral in Nabataba. It's about 40 kilometers outside of Kampala. When we got there, the coffin was still open. The family was there mourning David. The community members were all there, seated under big tents. People were cooking food. And his mother was there crying over the coffin. They opened up big cloths of different colors, including a rainbow flag, and spread it over the coffin. And after about 20 or 30 minutes, they closed the coffin. It had a glass window, so we could still see David's face through the closed coffin window. A little bit later, the LGBT community came from Kampala. They had had T-shirts printed up with David's name and picture, and they passed them out to a lot of us who were there. It was interesting that the community who lived nearby, who knew David and his family, sat sort of under one tent, and the LGBT community seemed to sort of congregate under another. But when the service actually started, the community seemed to hesitate a bit, and that is when many of David's very close friends from Sexual Minorities Uganda stood up to talk about David's life and his work and how much they're going to miss him, how many plans they had to fight the anti-homosexuality bill, and how impossible it will be to replace David. You know, they refer to him as their grandfather, Gogo, and it was clear that this is going to take a long time to recover from. Many different people spoke at the event. Sylvia Tamale, a professor from Makerere University in the law and gender unit, gave a very compelling talk calling on different constituencies to do more to ensure the protection of homosexuals in Uganda. She called on the government to ensure that there are no second-class citizens in Uganda. She called on them to speak more consistently against prejudice and injustice. And she called on the murderer to be a man and hand himself in. She called on Kato himself. She told him he had been a great activist and that he joined a long line of great activists who had been killed for standing up for what was right. She listed other LGBT activists who had been killed over the last few years around the world. And she said she hoped David would rest in peace. His brother, his twin, in fact, got up and gave a beautiful talk about how David had so much energy in his life as a teacher and then later as an activist. He commented on he had always been impressed that David continued to make so many friends throughout his life, even though he was in his mid-40s. He seemed to still be making new and important friendships. You know, David's family commented that David seemed to be able to make friends with those who are alien, was the word he used in English. You know, it was not clear, really, to many of us how much David's family recognized how prominent David had been in the fight for the protection of LGBT people in Uganda. His mother spoke in Luganda about his death. And some other people read statements from many of the other NGOs in Uganda Someone read a statement from President Obama. There was song, it was all going very well until the preacher who was there for the event to sing and to hold the service, I think, seemed to have understood suddenly that David had been himself a gay man. The situation sort of deteriorated there. The preacher got up and preached in Luganda that these people were sinners, that not even animals do this, and that these organizations who support this activity should disappear. Obviously, the LGBT community who was there took great offense. Many of them, got close to him, yelled at him, wanted him to stop speaking. The whole thing got very combative, and in the end, the police got in the middle of the two groups and got the preacher into a house. And it was clear, it appeared, that the preacher was not willing to bring David's body down to the burial site, which was a couple hundred meters away, for a service there. But it didn't affect the situation in the end. The community members and many of David's friends carried his casket down to the burial site where David was laid to rest. I think in the end, the event went as well as many of us could have expected. And we all continue to hope that the police will do their job and make sure that David's killers are brought to account. We hope there'll be fair trials. Many of us who have watched police investigations in Uganda worry also for the defendant. Police investigations in Uganda can certainly be accompanied by very heavy-handed interrogations, and defendants can spend years awaiting a fair trial. So this is the beginning of a long fight, both for justice for the LGBT community here in Uganda, but also to ensure that David's killers are brought to account through fair trials.
That was Human Rights Watch researcher Maria Burnett. If you want to learn more about David Kato's life and death, visit our website, hrw.org. Send us your feedback on this podcast at podcast@hrw.org. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham.